You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is Keith Alexander. I guess the music will stop sooner or later. But I just wanted to let you know that we're always in a quest to find new, interesting content creators, and we found one in Timothy Kelly. I was on Timothy's show. I don't know whether it was the Powers and Principalities show or the Our Interesting Time show. He has several podcasts. It was supposed to go on for an hour, and it wound up going 2 hours and 58 minutes, didn't it, Timothy?
Yeah, I told you it'd be about that long, but I warned you that once the conversation starts, it's hard to end it.
Oh, it was interesting. I mean, I thoroughly enjoyed myself, but tell us about your podcast. Tell us about what your particular niche is, ideologically speaking, and what your interests are, and then tell us what you think is happening in the world today that we ought to explore on this segment of the show.
Oh, okay. The primary program is Our Interesting Times. That was the program that you were on. That's the show where I conduct an interview interview content creators, authors, researchers, activists, and such. And the program is dedicated to looking into sort of revisionist history, parapolitical, you know, conspiracy stuff, I guess you could say, the stuff that isn't really covered by the mainstream media or academia or the media.
The real history, in other words, not the court-approved history. Yeah,
and I've been doing it, I guess, close to seven years there. And then I do there's like another program that I do a week. It's called Powers and Principalities. That's more like a conversation. The co-host is Joe Atwell. We just get on and we talk about the, you know, often it's topical, or it could be historical too, but lately it's been more topical because of the fast pace of events. But sometimes we do retrospectives on certain issues. We just kind of chew the fat, talk about political issues. And that's a weekly program that I do with him.
How do our listeners find you on the internet?
Well, you could probably just do a search, a search engine, preferably something other than Google. But if you do, it's on Podomatic. That's the kind of the primary site that you use for Our Interesting Times and Powers and Principalities. But if you do a search, do Powers and Principalities or Our Interesting Times and my name, you'll come up with it. You know, so.
Well, it's the floor is yours. It's your dime, your dance at this point. You tell us, what do you think is interesting that you would like to explore with us on this show today? Well, you know, all the things that are going on, Trump's indictment or pending indictment, Marjorie Taylor Greene's call for secession, all sorts of other things, of course, too, Ron DeSantis versus Donald Trump, or anything that you think is interesting and you would like to discuss.
Well, at this point, electoral politics is sort of like a humiliation ritual. At least at the national level, it's hard to take it seriously at this point. Donald Trump gave an interesting address recently,
was hanging out at McDonald's too. Tim having a good time at McDonald's. That's important news, right there, Tim.
Buying everyone Happy Meals or something. But showing up there, in East Palestine, a town up there that was the victim of that train wreck. I thought it was a good metaphor for the country, though. Yeah, it's a train wreck. That's the Biden administration. That's what the country's becoming.
Biden was typically not even present, so that fits your analogy as well.
Yeah, he flew to Ukraine to promise $500 million more dollars to Zelensky's regime. Why the poor folks of East Palestine weren't getting anything.
And then the Donald was passing out Donald water to just keep y'all alive, you know?
Well, Well, let me tell you, I think that was a very astute political move by Trump, and it also shows the just utter contempt that the Democrats would hold an area like Palestine, Ohio in that voted for Trump in the past two elections. They don't give two hoots in hell what happens to them, I think is the message I drew from it. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't see any transgendered people in East Palestine. So, no. So it's the Rust Belt. It's one of these areas that have been neglected, sold out, kind of part of a victim of the deindustrialization, of the hollowing out of the country that's been going on for the past, 35, 40 years.
Have you ever seen the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy, where the Coke bottle comes out of the airplane and they trip out on this Coke bottle? Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah, I saw it a long time ago.
All right. So my last name is Bushman, just so you know, and I kind of thought if they're going to have Trump water, maybe I ought to do the Bushman bottle, and I could pass out my own water, and it would be kind of like The Gods Must Be Crazy. That's what our country seems to have turned into.
Yeah, it is. It is. I think it's sort of an organized insanity. There's a method to the madness here. It's sort of it's a demolition of the country, and at least at the national level, the Biden administration is sort of has been installed to accelerate things, and sort of create one crisis after another. Obviously, although that's been going on for a long time in Ukraine, at least back to 2014, they literally brought about a crisis. And now
I've got a pet theory, Tim, about what happened. Why all of a sudden the left has put the pedal to the metal. Mm-hmm. I think that they were absolutely alarmed and shocked, shock and awe, I guess, when Trump not only got the nomination for the Republican candidate for president, but won. And they said, well, no more Mr. Nice Guy, no more incremental change. If we get power again, we're going full bore, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead. And I think that's what they've been doing ever since.
Yeah, and that's been exposed just with Russiagate and the collusion of the FBI with the Clinton campaign back in 2016, in collusion with that guy, the British intelligence officer. They commissioned that intelligence report, which justified the FISA warrant, which is illegal. Of course, that all these FBI, like Strzok and was it Lisa Page? I'm forgetting some of the names. But they're all.
This is not the FBI of Jack Webb and Efren Zimbalist Jr. anymore, that's for sure.
No, and it's increasingly woke. I just saw a report today about misconduct of the FBI, how none of it's being punished. This is like drunkenness, assault, sexual assault, agents losing weapons, and there's no longer any accountability. And it's gone fully woke and perverse because just recently, you had the FBI, that memo, the Richmond memo regarding the. So-called traditional Catholics, and those who like to go to the Latin Mass as somehow being a source of I guess suspected extremism. and if anything, the people in the Latin Mass aren't extreme enough. Really, they're just very they're kind of neocon-y for the most part. But it's ridiculous. But one thing that caught the FBI's attention was their opposition to LGBTQ. As if that's a reason for federal investigations. If you don't go on to global homo, promote the homosexual wacko agenda, you're somehow un-American or something.
Hang on, gentlemen.
Yeah,
Tim
you
Kelly
can't
with
make
us.
This stuff up.
We're talking about his incredible podcast, Our Interesting Times. Check it out on Podomatic. We'll continue with Keith Alexander in seconds on the Political Cesspool nationally syndicated radio program.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards. Keith Alexander riding shotgun on the broadcast today. Tim Kelly with us as well, talking about his fascinating podcast called Our Interesting Times. Boy, howdy, do we have interesting times, that's for sure. If you want to check that out.
The Chinese curse, may you live in interesting times. Is that where you got that name, Tim?
Yeah, that's the idea.
All right, look it up on Podomatic, ladies and gentlemen. You can check it out. And if you check out specifically episode 343, you can hear Tim and Keith discuss Southern nationalism, the war of Northern aggression, and America's race relations. And speaking of that, Mr. Adams, I guess, is no longer welcome, huh, Tim?
Yeah, he had an interesting rant on, let's call it rant with beer, because he was kind of calm about it.
Sounded under control to me. Yeah, but
but, you know, of course, he's a famous cartoonist, Dilbert cartoonist, so he's socked away a rather large fortune, I think, like in north of $50 million or something. Good on him. But he now does podcasting, and he had this, I guess it was a Twitter thing. And he, in a response to a Rasmussen poll showing that 49% of American blacks do not think that it's okay to be white or okay to whites to exist. And so he declared on his podcast that there's no reason to attempt to even help blacks or associate with black anymore, and urging all white Americans just to establish a distance, move away, don't deal with them. It's sort of just throwing up his hands and saying that I'm tired of it. And he's kind of a normie right-wing guy, so it's interesting. Yeah, this is the great notice thing. And this is the result of all the agitation that's gone on in the past few years, but really for several decades. Of course, the racial narrative is white guilt and black victimology and black nobility. And, of course, that is somewhat contrary to reality, of course. And the situation, the history is far more complex than that, really, so are race relations. And this is just a product of the narrative we've been given.
I have the feeling, Timothy, that he's kind of like a white person from outside the South in America, like Minnesota or Nebraska.
Yes.
Back in the 1950s, he said, gee whiz, if we just get rid of all of these oppressive segregation laws and give, you know, equal opportunity, you know, based on meritocracy, that these people may rise up. People in the South knew that was a bunch of rubbish. It wasn't going to happen that way, but nobody would listen. And now we've got, you know, we've created a situation where, as they say, the more you stir it, the more it stinks. Do you agree?
Yeah.
He's just acknowledging it.
Yeah. And there's no way, I mean, what we've seen also with the equity agenda, meaning they can't just call for equality because equality doesn't really exist.
If you have meritocracy or something like that, white people will still be up on top. So they had to go affirmative action, for example.
Yeah.
All right. So let's help people understand a little bit of the story before we go on, ladies and gentlemen. Scott Adams, creator of the Gilbert comic strips, went on a rant and they freaked out. Hundreds of newspapers now have dropped the Gilbert comic strip over it. Now they're calling it a racist rant, saying he went psychotic and everything else. The problem is, doesn't he have a right to his own thoughts and his own mind and his own free speech and everything else, Tim? Come on now.
Yeah, but he probably would say, I thought I was living in America where we had the First Amendment. But
Good point, Tim.
Yeah, well, that doesn't exist with the ADL, so controlling the FBI. And
yeah, but let's talk about it. What did he say, though?
Well, he's responding to all the anti-white agitation. That's the thing.
Right.
Where have you been? I'm saying, if you're shocked at his remarks, where have you been the past 3 years? You
know, yeah, but let's talk about his remarks, though. What were they?
He just said given the poll, almost half blacks belong to a hate group because they don't think it's okay to whites to exist. It should be
all
white.
Right, so let me stop, though. And what's wrong with stating a fact like that?
Well, that's the problem. They don't want
because
to
white people are just supposed to sit back and take it. We're supposed to slump our heads and
have they lost their cotton picking minds? We're not doing that.
Our posture it should be one of guilt and taking the knee and begging for forgiveness. That's the position of the regime. That's if
I'm gonna stand
that,
up and defend
right.
Adams.
Yeah. As you should, but he's just saying, if we're that awful, if ethnic whites are that awful, and white people are very diverse, to call them white is sort of a crude oversimplification. But I'm saying, if we're that awful, then why do you want to live with us? Civil rights demands two things: one is white guilt and proximity to whites, and that's been demanded all the time.
Yeah, but
all
that's
the
just
problems.
Critical race theory light, though. We got to jettison that notion yesterday.
Well, see, Jesse Jackson said this back 20, 30 years ago. He said, wherever you move to, we'll find you. So, they may hate us, but they should have it's a strange love-hate relationship going on there, apparently, in their minds.
Yes, yes, yeah. And that's what it is. And they don't. And the thing is, it's a grift. It's been a grift for a long time. I don't know who said it, but every movement starts out. As a cause, becomes a business, and then a grift or something to that effect. That's being for the longest time. And
I think it was Eric Hoffer that said that.
Yeah, there's no payday in being introspective and dealing with your own problems. There is a payday.
It will never end. The grift will never end. It's like the Arabs say, don't let the camel's nose in the tent, because if you let so much as a camel's nose in the tent, next thing you know, the camel will move into your tent and you'll be moved out of it. The thing about reparations, if that happens, they'll never be enough. You know, we could run the printing presses till they glow red, day and night, printing money for them, and it would never be enough. And so why even think about going down that field? You see what's happening in Jackson, Mississippi now? This may be what we have to do. They basically have said to the city of Jackson, which is like 80% black population run by a black nationalist named Lumumba, he's the mayor, they've basically decided that you have proven that you're incapable of running a city. So our state capital is here. We're going to carve out the area that's the state capital, and we're going to run it. We're going to have our own police. We're going to have our own utilities and stuff like this, and we're not going to come bail you out, You have a tax base. You're supposed to run that. The problem in a place like Jackson is that Lumumba has hired all his cronies as, government employees, and that's where all the money is. So there's no money to repair the streets or to repair the water treatment plant. It sounds like a good idea for the entire nation on these areas like this, because they expect us to just come and bail them out time and time again.
Yeah, and because it's all racism. There are problems, it's racism. That's the fallback. That's the narrative. That's the racial narrative we've been given.
So the point Scott was making, though, is it's okay to be white, right? And that's what he's getting attacked for. It's okay to be white. It's okay to realize that there are haters everywhere. And you know what? It's okay for me to be white. It's okay for me to advocate for being white. I'm white, and so that's what I'm going to do. And that's really what he's guilty of, right, Tim?
Yes, and they don't want that reaction, because they don't want that consciousness there. And what's happened is the past few years, but really it's a culmination of several decades. People are kind of fed up and they're just saying the quiet part out loud now. And this is predictable given what the regime tried to pull off since 2020 with the George Floyd nonsense insanity. You're going to have sort of an ethnogenesis where you have sort of a development of, well, it already has, and there was a white American identity, the idea of what American was. He spoke English. He was broadly Christian and these things. It might be a cowboy. It might be a Yankee, a Connecticut Yankee. It might be a farmer from the Midwest and these things. Well, they flooded the country intentionally since 1965, but really picked up since the 1990s to change the demographics of the country. And what they're finding out is that the idea that America being a creed nation, being a proposition nation, the only problem is only ethnic whites support those propositions. So it turns out that even the proposition nation has an ethnic basis to it. And these universal principles, yeah, they're nice, and you know, to think that you can apply them to everybody, but you can't flood the country, intentionally flood the country to...
The whole proposition nation was basically a Jewish invention. There's no such thing as a proposition nation anywhere. All nations worthy of the name are blood and soil nations, including the United States of America.
Yeah, no one dies for an idea. You know, it's a country, it's a place. You know, these things. You know, but they've made America transient, atomized, and that's the core population, the white population. And you can't make war on this core population and expect the system to function. That's why you're seeing so much incompetence. Derailment.
Things used to work back in the days before World War II, because communication systems weren't at the level they are now, and basically one part of the country did their thing, other parts of the country did their thing, and basically nobody got real exercise about trying to impose their will on faraway people who didn't share all of their values or outlook. Mm-hmm. And now...
All right, hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Quick pause. Tim Kelly with us. His incredible podcast, Our Interesting Times, available on Podomatic. Back in seconds with Keith Alexander and Tim Kelly.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Dave Collins. The U.S. has a gift for Russia to commemorate the one-year anniversary of the Ukraine invasion. More sanctions.
The Biden administration imposing the new sanctions on Russia, which include U.S. financial and travel sanctions against 200 Russian individuals who support the invasion. While announcing the new sanctions, the White House also unveiled a new $2 billion economic package for Ukraine, which is coming from the Group of Seven Nations. I'm John Schaefer.
The Norfolk Southern Railroad is getting hit with lawsuits following the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. An Ohio-based law firm says it's filed a class action lawsuit against the railroad on behalf of everyone living within 30 miles of the derailment. Along with punitive damages, the suit is pushing for the creation of a fund for medical monitoring, new testing, and cleaning procedures. The train that derailed earlier this month exposed the community to highly toxic chemicals. The Washington, D.C. rally at the Lincoln Memorial marked the one-year anniversary of Russia invading Ukraine. That was this afternoon. A Ukrainian refugee was there wanting to show support.
Our hearts with Ukraine, and we want to support and wanted to show that we love Ukraine and want our country to be free.
Universal Studios' Cocaine Bear is drawing in crowds at the weekend box office. The gory comedy flick about a rampaging bear on drugs drew in nearly $9 million on its opening Friday. That's a better opening than expected. Could set the film up for a $20 million opening weekend. Meanwhile, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, is looking at a huge week-to-week drop-off of roughly 72%. It's looking to bring in another $30 million this weekend. This is USA News.
Attention, small business owners. This could be the most important 10-minute call you will ever make. You may be eligible to receive up to $26,000 per employee through the Employee Retention Credit. Call Omega Accounting Solutions to see if your business is eligible to recover payroll tax pay during the pandemic. All it takes is a quick, easy, free 10-minute consultation to determine your qualifications. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-309-ERC. Omega's knowledgeable staff will streamline the process of filing complicated paperwork. Omega is the small business champion with teams dedicated to maximizing tax credits. CPAs even turn to Omega for ERC guidance. Take advantage of this exclusive small business tax credit before it's too late. The 3-year sunset deadline is setting soon. So find out if you qualify today. Call 800-309-ERC. That's 800-309-ERC. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com.
Live and on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, we thought we'd play that for James Edwards. In a world full of hate, there you go with Donna Summer. Yeah, wow, all kind of things going on. I've got an incredible guest coming up on Liberty Roundtable Live. This is kind of a shameless plug, if you will. Rachel Alexander, incredible, hard-hitting, she's got guts journalist, will be with me on Monday, Liberty Roundtable Live. Check it out. But here's the deal. Arizona had an incredible elections, I don't know what you call it, bonanza hearing, so to speak. It was literally over 5 hours long. Well, anyway, this one lady testified about the drug cartels in bed with the election shenanigans and more, literally pointing out fraud everywhere. And Rachel Alexander nails it in her article, provides the best summary that I've found anywhere. Here's what it says. Explosive testimony. As Senate elections and House Municipal Oversight and Election Joint Meeting accuses Hobbs, Fontes, Runbeck, that's a corporation, and judges of racketeering and getting in bed with drug cartels. Anyway, it'll be an incredible interview coming up on my show, Liberty Roundtable Live, Monday. Check it out. Well, you know what? Biden's executive order on advancing racial equity is one of the key topics Tim loves to discuss. Who's with us? We're talking to Tim Kelly about his incredible podcast available at Podomatic. Just look up Tim Kelly and look up our Interesting Times podcast to learn more about that. But Tim, this equity thing is huge because it used to be we just need equality. But now they've learned to jettison that for this equity term, right?
That doesn't get them where they want to go.
Yeah, because you can't to control results because people aren't.
Well, as Grandma used to say, you can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear, right?
Yeah, so they've bought on this equity stuff, which is equality of outcome. It's really not equality of outcome. It's just basically redistribution. There's also destruction of all standards, and this, basically it's going to result in, you know, lights going out, power grid failing, and water taps stop running, like in Jackson, Mississippi, if you take this to its final.
Yeah, and let me bring up this comparison so people kind of understand. They first talked about equality because that's what most people wanted to hear. Oh, we love equality. That's a good idea. And they tell you what you want to hear when they're not in the driver's seat. Later, they say, and this is what Keith Alexander always highlights, later they say, shut up now, we're in charge. We're not going to tell you what you want to hear. We're going to tell you how it is. So it started out equality, but that was just their way now to equity, Keith. But that makes your point very well.
Yeah, that was their camel's nose in the tent, and now they're in the tent, and they're calling all the shots, and equality just doesn't do it. Basically, they want equality of result, not equality of opportunity. And white people across the nation said, that's not what we signed up for. That's not what the Civil Rights Act of 64 says. And they say, shut up, honky, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And, yeah, it's the basically the order is supposed to level the racial playing field by addressing systemic racism in our nation's policies and programs. Of course, it does nothing like that. In truth, it just basically it's a massive restructuring of the federal government in a way that changes the manner in which these agencies operate. It powers commissars, basically political commissars.
Yeah, if you're white in America, you basically have a government that hates your guts. Now, that's about the bottom line, don't you think, Tim?
Yeah, and basically, this is the most, particularly the white male straight, cohort, which are recent.
It's what Paul Craig Roberts called WHAMs, white heterosexual able-bodied males.
Yeah, and these are the most productive, most responsible. These are that kind of the boomers that created sort of the post-war prosperity. They expect results, and they've admitted it so much. Like at the African American Museum in Washington, D.C., they had a plaque about white supremacy or attributes of whiteness. And one was punctuality, perfectionism, precision and
they're what we used to call middle class virtues. They aren't you don't get a lot of credit for them, but society can't work, for example, if nobody is punctual, nobody is task oriented, sees a job to the end, for example.
Yeah, bridges collapse, planes don't fly, water stops flowing, and this is a hot, this is an industrial or modern society requires all these things. And of course, a lot of these things are just attributes or products of Western civilization, European civilization, science and art and these things. And the problem is they can't, they look at that as white supremacy. And in a way, it kind of is. How it's, it's kind of like racism, George. What do you mean by it? What do you mean by anti-Semitism? What do you mean by white supremacy? You mean the rules as they are, but you can't cope with these rules, so you destroy the rules and you just destroy society. We're seeing that.
Well, I read something just recently about that, Timothy. Something recently about anti-Semitism. Anti-Semitism has morphed from being a person who doesn't like Jews to a person Jews don't like now.
Yeah, that was Joe Sobrant's quip. That was good. And that's what it is, yeah. And not only that, it's pushing this racial stuff. It's also shoving this perverse gender identity or whatever agenda down, because that's one of the underserved communities, by the way, as if they're underserved. Talk about being overrepresented and overpowered. By the way, some groups should be marginalized and disempowered because they're perverse and destructive, and what would be these neurotic sick people who pretend that they're
that's a conversation on race they don't want to have. They want to have a conversation where they do all the talking and we do all the listening.
Yeah, like Scott Adams had a frank and honest discussion.
And what they really want to do, gentlemen, is they want to use the force. So that's why it's an executive order here. It's not a congressional. It's not a balance of power, separation of powers. We the American people representative discussion. They want to advance this racial agenda and support for their agenda by government force. Of federal government edict. They want to use the criminal FBI. They want to use everything they possibly can to marginalize and make everyone a felon, except for those who go along with their agenda, Tim.
Yeah, and they're using the force of law to promote, the queer, intersex, transgender agenda, which is perverse and immoral and destructive. And they're saying if you oppose that agenda, you are immoral. This sort of satanic transvaluation inversion of values here we're seeing.
This is where liberalism leads, though. See, and that's what I was saying. There are so many white people in America that say, well, I was all right with the first level of feminism, but third level, I can't go that far. I was all right with the civil rights move, but now affirmative action, see, you can't have it both ways. You can't let that camel's nose in the tent. Because when you do, it's inevitable they're going to change it until Blacks are not big abstract thinkers. They think in terms of results. They said, if I've got these rights, if I've got a right to vote, then how come I'm not winning an election? So they said, we're going to open up election. We're going to have a month plus of early voting plus, having absentee ballots without any reason and things like this. They are not impressed with rights. They are impressed with results. And that's what they will always go for. They see all these ads on TV with interracial couples, black men with white women, and then in real life, it doesn't seem to happen that way. So white women are getting beaten up and killed. We got to understand what we're dealing with. This is not going to end well until common sense gets a seat at the table again.
Yeah. And the existence of a Clarence Thomas or a Thomas Sowell doesn't do away with the crime statistics and the black and white crime rate. It doesn't deal with the issue. We're not saying everyone is like that. We're just saying, but there's a reality here. There's a problem that those exceptions, exceptions prove the rules, they say. And that doesn't solve the racial problem or the crime problem
People should look to the South about that, because quite frankly, black and white Southerners always get along and got along famously, except when you had third-party agent provocateurs from outside the area trying to stir up trouble between the races. In the first Reconstruction, it was Yankee abolitionists. In the second Reconstruction, which is what we call the Civil Rights Movement, it was Jewish freedom riders. And that's the cause of the problems.
Well, I mean, all I know is I saw The Kill a Mockingbird, and I saw Heat of the Night, and that's my understanding of the South.
Yeah, that's right. Half of the facts.
And one thing people are finding out with, of course, the crime wave and the problem of black crime is that perhaps some of those restrictions that we saw in the South with the segregation, those social separation, segregation that was imposed, there was a reason for it. This isn't to say that everything that should have stayed the same, but I'm saying is you have to put things in their context. You can't wage a war the way that Lincoln waged war in the South and destroyed all rule of law and government and subjected to military occupation. And along with that was a whole lot of lawlessness that Southerners were experiencing. So these laws were put in place after Reconstruction ended to maintain some semblance of law and order. And there was a huge crime problem. And without that context, you don't understand it. But instead, people have got to look at the narrative that we see with To Kill a Mockingbird. And again, there's a context for these things. And perhaps.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. Tim Kelly and Keith Alexander on The Political Cesspool Live.
Hello, TPC family. It's James. And I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Final segment. Man, it time flies when you're having fun, huh? Sam Bushman.
They let me have good guests like Tim.
Roger that. James Edwards on a little trip with his family. Meanwhile, Keith Alexander and I, Sam Bushman, have Tim Kelly on with us. And he's got a podcast called Our Interesting Times Podcast. Check it out on Podomatic and many other places. Ladies and gentlemen, it turns out that McCarthy promised he'd release the J6 footage. And he made the promise, I think, because he was about to lose the speakership, and he made some concessions. One of them he seriously regrets. He didn't explain how he would release that information. So everybody thought it was going to be, you know, truly release it. Well, no. That's not what deep state thugs do. So Kevin McCarthy basically decided that his bed buddy, Tucker Carlson, he's going to release it to Fox News and Tucker Carlson, as if we could trust those clowns. And so now Tucker Carlson's combing through everything, and he promises a clear report next week. What it reminds me of, Keith Alexander, is back in the early days when you couldn't mass print the Bible, the kings and the thugs and the scribes and the scholars and the Sadducees and the Pharisees were like, hey, let me read the Bible to you, Keith, and tell you what it says, okay?
Yeah.
And they made control of the people that way. And this is what's happening with Kevin and Clown Carlson. Carlson should have got the video and said, hey, Kevin, you gave it to me to do what I want with. I'm going to release it to everybody. Why can't Sam and Tim and Keith and everybody and their dog go through these 41,000 hours of footage? Why leave it up to Tucker to read me the Bible, Keith?
Well, because I know that Mike Lindell, for example, is, if anything, if he might, you know, not get the right answer every time, but he's a bundle of energy, and he really, he's like a bulldog with a bloody bone. He will get into something and won't let it go until he basically makes sense of it to himself. And in other words, he's what we would classically call a free thinker. And that is the last type of person that the regime, the deep state, the cathedral, whatever you want to call it, wants to have reporting to the people at large in America, because, you know, that's you know, the buggy will get out of control in a hurry that way. So I think, quite frankly, I'm not an anti-Tucker Carlson person. I don't think that he is. I think he's doing what he can within the framework of, you know, he's walking a tightrope over there at Fox News. But on the other hand, Mike Lindell has his own network, his own resources, and he doesn't give a damn, okay? He's going to do – he's going to call a spade a dirty shovel, as my wife's grandfather used to say. And, you know, if you don't like – you better get a good appetite for a heaping helping of his outlook, because he's going to give it to you. They don't want people like that getting their mitts on classified information, because they can't control it. It's you know, they can control Tucker, I imagine, they think, through Murdoch, but there's nobody controlling Mike Lindell.
And Tucker might get out a little bit of information, but they'll always get out just enough, Tim, to make everybody angry and wring their hands and, oh my heavens, what are we going to do? And but not enough to, like, put people in prison. See, that's where I'd go with this thing, Tim.
Yeah, and just releasing this to Tucker makes, of course, makes it a partisan move, rather just releasing to all the media, then let the chips fall where they may. On the internet, just like post it on YouTube or something, let everyone look at it. And everyone can you know, examine it and come to their own conclusion. That's the best way to do with it. Full disclosure, this kind of reminds me of Glenn Greenwald about 10 years ago with Eric Snowden. I think when he was with The Intercept, they were slowly releasing.
Yeah, great point.
Whatever's happened to Edward Snowden, by the way, you never hear his name anymore.
No, he's still hanging out, I guess, cooling his heels in Russia, I guess.
He's hiding out.
Yeah, but that was kind of like just control. They could control it. And I think, you know, the regime gives us these figures, perhaps.
Yeah, you can tell some truth, just not the whole truth there, Tim.
Yeah, yeah, and so you can get these guys like Matt Taibbi or Glenn Greenwald or Tucker Carlson, who are going to provide some good information, but they never can go quite so far. It's like he thought when Tucker Carlson a few months ago, when he talked about the CIA being involved in the JFK assassination, that it was like he was breaking news or something. You're about, you know, 35, 40 years too late on that one. I mean, but nevertheless, it was interesting when he talked about it, because it revealed a lot. So it's kind of like now it's just normalized. But yeah, it's kind of like, why would you have this sort of a tapered leak of this information, or a controlled leak, when everyone has a right to see the information, given?
Well, that's because they just don't abide by the spirit of the First Amendment. It's freedom of press. It's not that we're going to have an official spokesman on the right to counter the official mm-hmm. spokesperson on the left. And we don't mm-hmm. need to accept that type of limitation on it. You know, if this information has been released to the public, then the public needs to get it.
Well, and here's the question. Whose information is it? Whose recordings are they? Are they Tucker's? Mm-hmm. Are they Kevin's? No, they're we the people. Ladies and gentlemen, and that's why Keith's wise point about the freedom of the press is the key here, Tim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like almost like when they have debates, everyone can suppose there's a congressional record, so we all know what was said. It's in the record, and it's the same thing. You know, we should also the same with the security video. It's not a secure site; it's a public building, so they can't even claim that. The fact that it took this long is a scandal. After they've, you know, year and a half of these false hearings, and they've put I think over 100 people without trial in prison, giving them, you know, harsh sentences for
What do you think about the Bidens and the Biden crime family? Is this going to be one of those situations, as I used to say, when all is said and done, there will be said and done? Or is, do you think anything like a prosecution, like they've
with
got,
Biden?
You know, dialed up for this, Donald Trump will come about against the Biden?
No, because Biden is so entangled with the regime and Ukraine. I think a lot of what's going on in Ukraine right now, he might be being blackmailed by Zelensky because of his son, his family's ties to Ukraine, Burisma, and the regime there. And, of course, the fact that the U.S. government installed the current regime back in 2014, despite the fact that we claim to respect democracy and sovereignty, there was a coup there. And so there's so many members of the political class are hip deep in embezzlement with Ukraine. That's why they can't keep track of the money. And of course, we got a kind of a taste or a hint of that with FTX. We found out that millions had been wired back into the Democratic Party. I suspect even the Republican Party.
I wonder how much of that $100 billion is going to wind up in the pockets of people in our government.
Yeah, well, Biden gets 10%, right? From what I understand.
The big guy.
Yeah, because that's for the big guy there, big guy. Tim. The big guy.
The big guy gets 10%, yes. But he showed up in Ukraine. He kept cool despite an air raid, right? You heard the air raid go off, right?
Yeah.
The warning, air raid.
The one off. Air raid they've had over there in 3 months or something, they make it sound like, he's.
Yeah, the problem is the big guy doesn't know where he is, Keith.
Yeah,
and that guy's an automaton. Basically, if they asked him to jump off of the bridge, the Crimean Bridge, his only excuse would be, only answer would be which side.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. And you have Janet Yellen, our Treasury Secretary. She doesn't come across as being too competent either, but she said, another $10 billion just to,
Well, she fouled up her job as head of the Federal Reserve, so now she's going to more directly affect our national finances as Treasury Secretary.
Hey, yeah, man, I'm going to ask you both, who do you think will be president in 2024? Tim? Any guesses?
In 2024? At this point, I can't go by who's popular in the polls because the elections, at least at that level, are so rigged now. I have no confidence in them. So whoever just controls the rigging process decides the president at this point.
I feel as I'm talking about this, like I'm in ancient Rome. Said, who's going to be the next emperor, Caligula or Nero?
Amen to that. But I wonder, though, what's going to happen, though, in 2024?
I think you might have a civil war. You might have a civil war among the oligarchs. That's what Rome was for the past couple hundred years.
Here's what I find fascinating, though. You take Marco Rubio, you take Ted Cruz, you take Nikki Haley, you take Barack Hussein Obama, you take some of these people, and not only are they unknowns until the mainstream wants to make them household names, but they all are like, I don't know if you want to call them first-generation Americans or whatever, but they're all basically modern-day immigrants, if you will, or next generation from. And now they're they come, the poor huddled masses, and then all of a sudden they're at the top of the ticket, and now they control you and me. I find that very startling and strange, Keith.
Yes, yeah.
And I don't think it would be tolerated in 99% of the countries in the world, a situation like that where total stranger immigrants come in with positions of elected positions of authority and power. Of course, the real power is in the bureaucracy now, not even the elected people.
True, we're seeing with Trump. When Trump was president, his FBI was conspiring against him. The DOJ was conspiring against him. The Attorney General was conspiring against him. He was a general without any soldiers. That's the president now.
Yeah, he was.
Well, when Obama got in, that's where people like Milley and whatnot got in, and Lloyd Austin.
Mm-hmm. It was a general of enemy soldiers, more like it.
Yeah. So it's America. America has an oligarch problem. It has to address that. The world has an oligarch problem at this point because now it's transnational. These governments, and we get a hint of that with like Klaus Schwab bragging about installing people in various governments and cabinets, and this whole program is designed. These people are vetted and kind of groomed for years to become these these puppet leaders. And Chris Biden is so obvious at this point because he's non compos mentis. At this point, he's just senile and just, you know, mumbling and doing.
One of Klaus Schwab's operatives, this what woman named Jornica something or other, was making a speech, and she said, "And when you have, you know, hate speech codes in America, and yes, America, you will have them." With a nod and a wink.
Yep. Thanks, both of you, gentlemen. We appreciate you. Thanks so much, James. Thanks
for
next
coming
week,
on,
ladies
Tim.
And gentlemen.
You all have a good night. Then, bye bye.
ThePoliticalCesspool.org. James will be back next week. Thanks so much for letting me sit in. Thank you, Keith, for all your work, sir. And my last comment is, God save the Republic.